Michael Lee is NBA senior writer with Yahoo Sports. He is covering the Rockets Golden State series. We'll talk to him a little bit about the Raptors coaching search and also obviously the Celtics Cavaliers series, which is now 2-0 for Boston. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. I got to ask you about, Golden State and Houston. And I don't know why, but it just watching that game, watching game one, it just occurred to me. I'm sitting there on the couch watching this and I'm thinking, you know, you got to beat these guys 4 times. Like, maybe once you're going to beat them. Maybe once they lose interest and something happens and there's a bad call, whatever. But Michael, I don't know if I've seen a team where I can't see them losing 4 games. I just can't.
After the game, I was talking to a bunch of people, agents, coaches, scouts, and that. All I kept thinking was, how is Houston going to win 2 games? I wasn't even thinking about 4. I was just trying to think 2. Because when you look at the Warriors and just how dominant they've been in the playoffs since adding Kevin Durant, they're 25-3 since they had Kevin Durant. That means that only 3 teams have been fortunate enough to win a game off of them in the postseason. So they've never gone to 6 games with Kevin Durant. So we're talking about a team beating them 4 times. They've never gone to 6 games with Kevin Durant. So that is a very scary number. And I think that, you know, if you're going to beat them, you kind of have to be the opposite of them in a lot of ways. You kind of have to be overly physical, really big. You almost have to just find a your own dream team that you have to just pluck guys from different teams and put them together, you know, and then hope that you come up with the right mix. But really, I think it's just we expected this, you know, when Durant decided to go there, you know, joining a team that just come off winning 73 games. I don't think the expectation was that the league was going to be competitive. I think we all kind of conceded that the Warriors are going to be the best team and everybody else is going to be playing for second place for a while until they either got bored, sick of each other, or finances broke them up. But even now, it looks like Klay Thompson wants to take a kind of favorable deal to stick around. So they could keep this thing going for as long as these guys are in their primes or until once they fade out. And I think that, you know, it's good for the league. I think it's good to have dominance. It's good to have a team that that either, you know, sparks emotions one way or another. So that's what we have right now in the Warriors. They're a team that that should repeat. I think the last – and they should actually be on their way to 4 titles. You got to remember when they lost to the Cavaliers, just think of all the fluky things that had to happen for them to win those last 3 games. You know, Draymond obviously got suspended. Steph was obviously dealing with the knee injury. But the most overlooked aspect of that entire series that hardly ever gets mentioned is that Andrew Bogut got hurt. Their defensive backbone center got hurt in game 5 of that series. And they wound up losing that game in overtime. So that means that everything matters, you know. So to not have your defensive-minded center and giving Kyrie Irving and LeBron James a free pass to the lane for layups and dunks for an entire half, that played a huge role in them not being on the verge of having 4 titles, playing for 4 titles in a row right now. So, yeah, this is a scary team.
And, you know, Michael, the thing that sticks out about this team to me, one of many things, and, you know, you're certainly better positioned to talk about this than a lot of people, but look, there, you know, we've been lucky to see some great, you know, some dynastic teams in the NBA, whether it was, you know, Magic's Lakers or, I guess in some ways, the Celtics, the Bulls, of course, the Bulls. You know, baseball, we saw the dynastic Yankees. I mean, we've seen the dynastic Canadians in hockey and the Penguins and the Oilers.
Oilers.
Yeah, but you know what, Michael? I have not seen a dynastic team that is harder to hate than Golden State in any sport. Like, I mean, I guess you people could have a hate on for Kevin Durant, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But Michael, you know what? I'm not sick of them. If someone said to me, Jeff, the Golden State Warriors are going to win the next 4 NBA titles playing the way they are, I'd go, cool. I'm happy. I'll be watching on TV. Why is that, do you think?
Well, I actually think that there is a lot of hate for this squad.
Really?
To be honest with you. Yeah. If you look at it, once they won that first title, I think that sort of changed the way fans start to view them. You know, there was a time, you know, Draymond Green became very annoying, you know, especially during that year they lost the championship, and he's, you know, hitting guys in areas he shouldn't be hitting them. He's kind of complaining about officials picking up techs all over the place. That became annoying. I think there was a backlash to Steph's popularity that to me was very surprising because
yeah, I guess I don't feel it personally. That's the way I look at it.
And then when they added Durant, it just took it to another level,
right?
Because people just saw them as this evil team all of a sudden. And for me, it was always confusing. It was baffling because I'm like, they have a really team of real solid guys who are great professionals who invest all their energy into. They don't waste their talents. They don't sit around and do anything to squander what abilities they've been given. They work hard. They care about their communities. They're all involved, socially active. You know, so this is a really an admirable group of guys. I'm always been baffled by the fact that they do get a lot of hate directed towards them. But I think it's a very likable team, you know, and, you know, they did everything within the rules. They did everything the way you're supposed to do it. They built their squad organically. They built their squad. They became contenders and champions with guys who were not top five picks. You know, I mean, Steph was 7, Clay was 11, Draymond was 33 or whatever he was, 35.
Mm-hmm.
So you had all these guys taken late in the lottery or later that became the foundation of your team. And then through a fluke of the salary cap, they hit the right year to have max money. And they had a guy who was eager to be a part of something special who joined them. And so I think it's real admirable. Like it's the way every team would want. If you're not a Warriors fan, or if you are a Warriors fan, like that's how you want your team to be built. That way you can watch these young guys grow and become a fun bunch, and then just become just completely dominant. So I agree with you. I don't dislike this run. I think this is a great group of guys and a fun team. But there's always going to be resentment and jealousy, and other reasons that fans will find legitimate to hate. And it's always been surprising to me, but honestly, I think they deal with it. I mean, the 3-1 jokes they had to endure after LeBron beat them.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not because people were just having fun. People really gloated on the fact that they lost, but they wanted to see them fail.
Now, you talked about maybe the key to beating the Warriors, if you can, is to not try to be like the Warriors and try to be physical with them. I'm looking at the Celtics. They're up 2-0 to Cleveland after that 107-94 win. Ty Lue has said, look, we need to be tougher. We need to be more engaged physically. Boston appears to be capable of playing that way. I mean, you know, I know that there's, you know, they've had balanced scoring throughout the early in the series against Cleveland. I get all that. But they also look like a team that's capable of pushing the envelope a bit against other teams. And are you surprised by how they've been able to do that in the playoffs?
Well, I'm surprised considering what I thought they'd be when the playoffs started.
Right.
You know, I think everyone was looking at them as the team you wanted to get because they didn't have Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, so they were a little suspect. But the more I see them play, the more I watch them play, I'm like, you know, Danny Ainge has a type. And if I'm a general manager, I want to build a team the way Danny Ainge did. And not just based on the talent, not just having the ability to get the Brooklyn picks and take number 3 picks and things like that, but he targets a certain type of player. He targets a guy who is tough, who is, you know, edgy, who has like a burning passion, a desire to always fight. You know, if you look at the guys that are playing right now, Marcus Smart, Marcus Morris, you know, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, even a guy like Aaron Baines, you know, all of these guys are tough guys. Like, they're guys who are going to always be relentless. And you put a team together, these guys, Terry Rozier, I mean, he's a perfect example. You put a bunch of guys like that, and then you add a super smart, skilled guy like Al Horford, you're going to be competitive all the time. And, you know, I know that Brad Stevens gets a lot of credit, and just it's justifiable because he's an awesome coach and he's doing a lot. But if you look at the makeup of that team, you see a bunch of guys who are never going to give up, who are always going to scrap. And I think you overlook them. You consider them underdogs all the time. That just only adds more fire to this group because they're going to come at you even harder. And I think that if you look at, you know, what happened to the Raptors and why they lost to the LeBron, the main thing that was lacking was that toughness and that fight, you know, because I think if Raptors fans, I think they're probably disappointed the most is that there wasn't enough times where the Raptors came and actually fought. Like, they looked like they were ready to just scrap and just do whatever it took to win. You know, you're not going to beat LeBron that way. And I think that's why they're up 2-0, because they're not looking at LeBron as somebody who's an indestructible force. They're like, man, we're going to take you out. And that's the attitude you have to have.
Yeah. And I, you know, I think, and I know we're up against the clock here, I want to ask you about the Raptors coaching search, but one of the other things I noticed too, the thing that's remarkable to me about the Celtics team is, you know, for example, last night, Ty Lue goes to Tristan Thompson, Kyle Korver goes to the bench. He's not guarding Jaylen Brown. J.R. Smith isn't. Brown just destroys J.R. Smith. And basically, you know, that was one of the keys to the game. And he got 23 points. I'm surprised at how many different ways the Celtics have to beat teams, you know, offensively. I'm surprised at how many different ways they have to beat teams offensively.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, because what Brad Stevens is always going to do is exploit the weakness. He's going to find the weak link and attack him repeatedly. He'll do it. He'll run the same play over and over again until the other team has to adjust. And that's what the Celtics do. If they feel like they have an advantage, they're going to exploit it over and over again. And that's why some nights it's going to be Jaylen Brown, some nights it's going to be Jason Tatum, because the defense is going to shift to whoever is the hot man. But Brad Stevens is going to make sure that, you know, they're going to wind up getting the advantage every trip down the floor. And that's what makes them such a brilliant coach.
We've got just a couple of minutes left, Michael. I did want to ask you, any scuttlebutt, anything you're hearing on the Raptors coaching job? You know, obviously Mike Budenholzer's name is out there, some of the internal candidates as well. When do you get a sense that a decision will be made one way or another by Budenholzer, whether it's Milwaukee or Toronto?
Yeah, I think, you know, they kind of got to wait it out and see, you know, which like I said, Bud's got to get his interview with the Bucks done, and they got to, you know, figure out whatever happens from there. I think it's not anything that necessarily has to be done quickly. I think they can take their time. You know, they already know what kind of team they are. They have to figure out, you know, where they're going to go from here. But just finding the coach, I wouldn't rush into making any kind of commitment. But there are a lot of great candidates out there, like you said, on my Budenholzer. Also, Jerry Stackhouse in-house, you know, Nick Nurse in-house, you know, so there are some guys that they could fill the role with. I think at some point you just kind of have to see if someone can take you in a different direction. And Dwayne Casey did an awesome job. But I think sometimes you just got to try something different. And this is their opportunity.
Michael, good stuff. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.